Live across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Telstra MobileNet Digital presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today, in an attempt to inject some culture into the program, Mick premieres a bold new Australian opera. We'll tell you how you can make your own serial killer movie. We'll have another informative edition of Lookin' Seedy. On Radio Gladiators, you'll once again have the chance to put yourself in the running for a brand new Ford Festiva. And joining us live to talk about talking pig movies, it's Magda Szubanski. Yes, all this and more coming up on the program. Solomon Lou describes as a kangaroo court Martin Malloy. This is Martin Malloy with myself, people, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, a man who, in his quest for the perfect physique, has just signed up for 6 months at Senator Bob Collins' Body Works, Mick Malloy.
Can't get enough of that action.
It's pretty simple 6 months from what I've heard. Mm. It's just sticking a pillow up your jumper, and I think you're ready.
Can you see anything so far?
No, it's great. Right. It's paying off. Mm. But look, I hear you're going to try and class up the show a bit today, Mick. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely, Tony. Let's talk about this brand spanking new opera.
Oh,
Tony, it's about the building of the Opera House,
yeah,
and it's on at the Opera House.
Right. So,
so you go there and you sit in the joint, and they give you a musical based around the building you're sitting in.
Oh, that's great.
There's a night out, isn't it? How many other places can you do that in? You know, I can't recall how many times I've been down at the 7-Eleven, going to the guy behind the counter. Hey, buddy, when does the show begin? I can see the chicken torpedoes, but no one's singing about them. What kind of joint is this? Hey! Here comes a bloke with a mask and a sawn-off shoddy. I hope it's Anthony Warlow. Where's the programs? Come on, darling, let's go. I mean, how often can I tell you? You've got to be careful these days, don't you, Tane? You can't walk down the shops to get a carton of milk without some budding Puccini petting a libretto. I went, this is true, I went to the Arts Council just the other day and I said, g'day, guys. When I got out of bed this morning, I scratched my ass. How about a grant? And you know what they did? They gave me a check, introduced me to a choreographer, and began auditioning for the role on my backside. Next. 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 Sorry, no sopranos. Ah, bingo. Get that butt into wardrobe. But Tone, an opera about the building of the Opera House. Now, I don't know about you, but the closest thing to anything musical I've heard emanating from a building site is a wolf whistle. And, well, people may get a little pissed off when they realise the orchestra is just 50 blokes in dinner suits with their fingers down their throats. And, well, as for the cast, that'd just be a lot of blokes looking like the construction worker from the Village People performing dance routines choreographed by the bloke who does the King G ads. The only need for opera glasses would be to see how much bum crack there is floating around on stage. The three tenors are coming to town. I hope they're wearing their hard hats. Well, look, I shouldn't be too negative because there were some, fantastic highlights.
Oh, yeah.
There were. Some of my favourite songs were, The Beguiling Past the Spanner Robbo, the anthemic Tools Down, Simple Yet Haunting Smoko, and, well, there wasn't a dry eye in the house when the production culminated in a rousing rendition of Give Me My Makita Back, Mac. Many great performances, but none better than the chorus of Angels, who kicked things off with their gritty and telling opening number. And I've got it here, Tone, please. Have a listen.
I am the music man, I come from
Tangerine. Martin Malloy and Mick, congratulations for injecting a bit of culture into the program.
I said I'd do it. Mission accomplished.
I love it. You're about, 45 seconds into your bit on the opera and you reach for the lunchbox sound effects.
Yep. Cracked it open early today.
Good on you. But hey, we're away and while we're talking arts, let's go off to the cinema. Should we do that?
Could we?
Because Mick and myself went and saw a film this morning. It's a new one called Seven, which is the new Brad Pitt flick. It's been number one in the US for about 4 weeks now, which must have the studio execs scratching their heads, because what are they going to call the sequel? 7-2? Another 7? 8?
7 squared?
Possibly. But it's a pretty good, if fairly unpleasant film. Mm. But because the Pitt man plays a young detective
who's teamed up with Morgan Freeman, the more seasoned, world-weary veteran cop who's seen it all. It comes as no surprise to learn that, A, Morg's character is only 7 days off retirement. Mm. You know, he never actually says the line, I'm too old for this shit, but, you know, he looks as though he might at any moment. B, the pair don't get along at first. Mm. But eventually, of course, develop a begrudging respect for each other. C, the chief of the department, he's a bit of a grumbly bum who loves barking out orders. He wants the case wrapped up quick, smart. And he's constantly popping out the front of the station to tell the ever-present reporters there's absolutely no evidence to suggest a link between the Spader killings, despite the fact that each one is based on one of the seven deadly sins. Right. So you get the idea. It's a serial killer movie. And you know, serial killers in the movies, they can't keep to themselves, can they? They can't just get the head down and get on with the job of bumping people off in a seemingly random fashion. Oh, no. They've got to send out a press release, don't they? They've got to make a big fuss about, look, I'm basing all my crimes on the seven deadly sins or the signs of the Zodiac or the lyrics of I Am the Walrus. Do you suppose there's a lot of professional rivalry amongst your serial killers? Do you suppose it's a bitchy industry?
I don't know.
It's a bit like, you know, have you seen what Ted's doing? Knocking people off according to the victim's star sign. Oh, been done. Hello, Ted. Wake up and smell the 90s. Oh, this from a man who last year launched his own series of alphabet murders. Oh, talk about original. Yeah, well, at least I'm not still wearing suits fashioned from the skin of my victims. That look went out with acid wash.
S-A-F-M.
Do you watch that show? I think it was on last night. In fact, Looking Good.
I do watch it, but every time I do, I just feel sad about our own show.
Oh.
Remember that one we did? We only did about 3 eps, I think.
Yeah.
Looking Seedy?
Yeah, it wasn't very successful.
No, but I'm surprised it didn't have a longer run.
Yeah.
Kind of liked it.
Have we got an episode with us
today? I think we may. Yeah. You've got that, Grace?
Welcome to another episode of Looking Seedy. And now, with all the latest on seedy living and fashion, let's cross to your blurry-eyed hosts with the hacking coughs, Mick and Tony.
Oh, yeah. Hi, I'm Mick, and I haven't been to bed for 2 days. Oh, excuse me. Oh, yeah, pretty seedy. In fact, I might go and have a lie down for a couple of hours. Oh, over to you, Tone.
Thanks, Mick. Feeling a bit crook myself. Well, I'm lying here on the couch. A few of the guys are crashed out on the floor. Steve's wearing tracky dacks, so's Jeff, and Kev's wearing nothing but his jocks. And we're all just kicking back, watching some Donahue. Everything's pretty seedy. Back to you, Mick. Mick? Mick?
What? I wasn't driving. I don't know why I ran. Oh, sorry about that. Welcome back. Yeah, just stacking a few much-needed Zeds. Well, time to venture into the kitchen for a hair of the dog. Oh, let's see. Nah. Nah. Oh. Nah. Nothing. Well, you know what that means. Time to say hello to my old BBB buddy, Barocca. Just pop it into a glass of water and wait. Okie dokie, why don't we cross back the tones and see what's happening at his joint?
Oh, thanks, Mick. Well, the boys were a bit peckish, but no one wanted to drive to Macca's, so we hoed right into some leftover pizza. It was a bit dodgy, because we'd been using the box as an ashtray, but it looks like... Oh, Kev's just ralphed all over the couch. Oh, and I think Jeff's about to go. Oh, back to you, Mick.
Come on, you Mabel! Jesus, why do they make them so big? What? What's your problem, you stupid pill? Oh, back to you, Tone!
Oh, hey, what's the tracky decks, Kev? Mick, it's pretty seedy now. We're yodeling all over the place, except for Steve. He was asleep on the floor till he got swept up in the spew and drifted down the hall. Oh, it may be an idea if we cross back to you, Mick.
What is your story? You're a tablet! Dissolve! Dissolve!
Call a doctor. Call an exorcist. Do something. Mick, what do you want from me? What?
We apologise for this break in transmission. Apparently we apologise for this transmission. And now we return you to regular programming with This Is Your Life, hosted by Mike Munro.
To asking the musical question, who's going to ride your wild horses here on Martin Malloy Gladiators? Radio Gladiators, of course, is on the way. And today, a bit of a clue. Attention, shopkeepers. If you work behind the counter in a shop, this is one for you today.
We want to hear from you.
Can't give too much else away. Also, hey, I should just apologise for looking seedy. I know, you know, people may be just eating about now. But people at home and in cars, just thank God that you don't have to wear headphones like we do. I'm not feeling at all well. Yeah, in the next hour, our guest is going to be Magda Szabanski. Mm-hmm. She's going to be in to talk about this big talking pig flick that's got the whole... and pigs. Babe, which doesn't come out till Christmas, but she's coming in early to give a bit of advance buzz, as they say in Hollywood, a bit of advance. But if I start using show business terms, Mick, that's your cue to slap me around.
Yeah, okay? You're not impressing me at all, and there will be a bit of a talk after the show.
I'll stop now. Now, you've got some movie news, haven't you, Mick?
Yeah, I do. Have a listen to this. Demi Moore has just made $12 million for her role as a stripper in the new film Striptease. And Tone, it got me thinking. I thought, when it was time to pay her, do you reckon the producers just stuffed it all down the front of her underpants?
Yeah, they probably would.
That'd be funny, wouldn't it? Just for a laugh. Because that's how they get paid, strippers. And only strippers. Has that ever worried you? You know, you don't, like, say you're in a cab, and at the end of the ride, you don't pull a couple of lobsters out of the wallet and stick them down the front of his underpants, do you? And if you did, you certainly wouldn't wait around while he fished around for some change. You'd be out of there, sunshine, wouldn't you? Quick smart. But imagine that, Demi Moore walking around with $12 million in her underpants. She wouldn't need one of those money pouches, would she? Just a zip on her bikini bottoms. And I can tell you this, when she walked into a bank, there'd be a lot of guys behind the counter removing their next teller please signs. Oh, yeah. They'd love it down the bank, wouldn't they? What about when she wanted to make a withdrawal? The teller would just be sitting there going, right, drop the skirt, music. Now, 20, 40, whoa, 60.
This is Martin Malloy. Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Today's challenge, because we want everybody in the big brown land, no matter what it is they do for a living, to have a bit of a crack at gladiators. Today we've decided to focus on shop assistants, people who work in shops and who have to put up with the general public day in, day out. We want to know, well, if you work in a shop, what's the worst customer? Who's the worst customer that you've had come in? And to give us a bit of a demonstration, we've got the bloke who stands behind the counter down at our local 7-Eleven store. Convenience store. It's are you there, Gurinder? Can you hear us?
Yes.
How are you today?
I'm very well.
How's things going down at the shop?
Well, pretty busy.
Okay, now Gurinder, if you don't mind me asking, which part of the world do you hail from?
Well, I'm from New Delhi, India.
Right, now, if this isn't an impertinent question, I'm guessing that what with you working at a 7-Eleven and wearing a turban, you're probably sick of hearing the name Apu. Would that be correct?
No, never heard it before, in fact.
Oh, I'll bet you haven't. Okay, now,
we're pretty good customers, aren't we?
Well, sort of.
We're always polite?
Yeah, sort of. Don't buy apart from those that get ready.
Gatorade.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Lots of that.
You should try something else, too.
No. Like Gatorade goes well with vodka.
Vodka. Pretty soon. That we are going to introduce that.
Really? That's a
deal. Yes. Hey,
what about those 1.5 metre lolly snacks you advertise out the front? Is that a real thing, or is that just you stretching them out the back?
Have you seen the real crawling snakes in our shop or not?
Oh, vodka snakes? Gee.
They are behind the counter.
You're turning it on. Now, give us an example of a bad customer.
Well, I got no shortage, but this is probably the most nastiest I ever had for the 9 years of customer service.
Ooh.
And, well, what happened just a couple of months ago, I mean, I was doing my evening shift with my mate, and this very well-suited person came in and bought some few things from the store for $4.80, gave me a $5 note, I gave him 20 cents change, and there you go on, because it was a rush hour. 10 minutes later, this man came in and said, "Hey, you didn't give me my enough change."
Ooh.
I said, "Yes, I did." And that turned him off. You know, he started jumping all over on the floor and used probably all the abusive language in his dictionary. And
yeah, but I apologized. I said, "Look, I honestly believed I'd given you $100."
Yes.
Okay.
He said, "I gave you $20. I said, "I believe you only gave me $5, and I gave you your 20 cents back."
And
he was holding that 20 cents in his hand.
And did it end up in court, Gurinder?
Well, quite near, very close, very close. I tell you what, he started abusing me, and he said, "I will cut your throat." And, I mean, I think he was under the influence of alcohol at that moment, too.
Yeah.
And we end up calling the police.
And I assume because you're able to talk to us now, he didn't make good on his promise. Okay. But you're still with us, Gurinder, and I'm afraid that that's a great example. We can't offer you a prize.
Why?
But it's a snake that's 1.5 metres.
All right.
We're still
we'll try to make it longer.
Yeah, we've got it on the rack out the back.
All right.
Now, of course, the segment is, in fact, sponsored by 4 and 20 Pies. How do the 4 and 20s go down at the shop there, Gurinder?
They go very well. I'll tell you what, they have recently introduced the egg and bacon pie, if you had tried that.
Yeah. No, I haven't.
Well, right? You must try the egg and bacon.
Yeah, I'm still stuck on beef.
We hardly have them in store.
You've obviously received that press release we sent you. Thanks for that, Gurinder. They're turning on a fantastic prize. Mm. It's a, well, it's a Sony Ghetto Blaster. So it's a stereo that's not as big as a stereo, but not as small as a Walkman.
And it's all in the name of the greatest pie in the world.
It is. All 4 and 20 pies. You like the sound of that, Gurinder?
Okay.
Okay. Guard those pies. Thanks for helping us out today.
No problem.
Okay, and watch out for the snakes.
Snakes?
Yes. Now, if you want to take part in this segment, and you can hear just how fabulous it really is, call us now on 1-800-657-657. Okay, what about our next caller? It's, I think, Lauren. Lauren, what's your story of woe?
I work at checkouts at Big W, and one day this guy came through with a can of soup that was $1.93, and because it was $1.93, we have to round it up to $1.95.
Right.
So when it scanned over, he thought we'd shortchanged him 2 cents.
Oh, no!
And he, like, started swearing and that, and I tried to calm him down and say, "Look, you know, this is what happens, you know." So he said, "I'll went and get the manager." So I went and got the manager and that, and he came down and he was going off his head and everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and he this went on for about 10 minutes, and, like, there's a whole line of people behind him, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, you know.
Yeah.
This is, like, my second week at, you know, working.
Yeah.
So.
And tell us, Lauren, what are you doing with all the 2 cents that you're slowly ripping off the Big W people?
I would not have a clue.
Did he get his 2 cents worth?
Yep.
You'd say he did? All right. Okay, that's pretty nasty.
Now we're in the terrain, aren't we, Tony?
Let's hear Kevin's story. Kevin, what happened to you, and where do you work, first of all?
Right, I work in a paint shop.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're looking good, by the way.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I had this one little old lady on the Saturday morning, and you've got to be polite, and the customer's always right type thing, and she couldn't pick a colour for the love and the money, and she's changing her mind all the time. That wasn't bad enough, and I was mixing the colour, and she's standing right behind me, right over my shoulder, and sort of almost sticking her head in the paint can as I'm mixing up the colour.
Yeah.
And she's commenting on this and that, and she says, "How pretty it is as the colour's swirling, because you put the stainers into the paint, and then you mix it up and it swirls in." She says, "It's all very pretty. It's that I notice you always mix clockwise." I said, "Yes, yeah, that's how you mix the colour in to make it darker." He said, "Well, listen, I've changed my mind. I would like that colour a bit lighter." I said, "Sorry, it's mixed up now. I got you to make your mind up and supposed to be definite before we made the colour up. So you got to buy it. It's mixed up now." He says, "Oh, don't try and fool me, son. I know if you just mix it the other way, you stir the colour back out again."
Is that right?
And she was serious.
A bit of a science lesson for you, Kevin.
Yes.
Kevin, do you ever, have you got one of those machines that shakes up the paint?
Yep.
Do you ever make like a thick shake in there?
No, we've thought about it. We thought about actually getting a really big can and sort of seeing if it goes to the Guinness Book of Records thing. But it wouldn't take a big enough can.
I'd love to get a slab. Slab of beer, put it in there, then hand it out to all the mates.
A guy at a party and watch them all open it.
that'd
be a good one.
That's a 4th of July celebration waiting to happen. Have we got time for one more, Gracie, do we?
I think we do.
Okay, is it Michelle? Michelle, what's your story?
Well, I work at Prystown, and we had this really fat lady come in one day.
Oh, yes.
And she said to me, have we got size 24 knickers? And I was trying not to laugh. Me and my manager were fighting over who was going to serve her. And then I went and I got them for her, and she said, no, I don't like blue. So she started yelling because she wanted a pink pair.
Oh, damn. You know, this story to me, I reckon, could be written up as a limerick. It's got all the elements, I think. And so
a pink pair, because a blue pair would look a bit like a cape.
You didn't lose your job over this knickers incident, did you, Michelle?
No.
Okay. Well, there's quite a collection there, Mickey. Who's it going to be? Who's the worst customer?
I don't know. What seemed to you to be
I think the bloke causing the scene over 2 cents in the supermarket.
2 cents.
It's Lauren. Are you there, Lauren? Lauren, are you still with us?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, guess what? You've got the Sonny Ghetto Blaster.
Oh, that's terrific. Thank you very much.
And I think it's worth exactly $395.93. So what does that come out at down there at Big W? Come on, quickly.
Yeah, about that. Yeah, we'll be right there.
Okay. All right, well, thanks for playing Radio Gladiators today.
Oh, thank you.
That's all yours, and thanks to all our gladiators. And stick around, people. In the next hour, we'll be joined by Magda Szubanski.
This is Martin.
This hour, International Lunchbox, The Wedgies, and next up, Magda Szubanski. And it's all thanks to the tireless team at Telstra, MobileNet, Digital. SAFM. Welcome to the second hour of Martin Molloy, folks, and it's time to, well, welcome our guest. She's getting herself comfy right now. I think we know her. I think we love her. She's, well, a beloved Logie winner, and she's the star of Babe, the Australian film that's made over 50 million smackaroos stateside. It's Magda Szubanski. Magda, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
Now, the last time you were on the show, you were in a bit of a hiatus kind of situation because your show Big Girl's Blouse had been taken off. The tapes had been locked in the basement somewhere at Channel 7.
Yeah.
Of course, it came back on and rated through the roof. Do you feel vindicated?
Absolutely, I do. I feel, you know, we felt like Geelong there for a while. We sort of, we came so close and then we were pipped at the post, but now we're back on track.
And how do people react to you in the corridors at 7? Do you run into any of the executives and do they have much to say to you of a cheerful nature?
We've formed an especially close bond with the programmers there.
Now, you were also up for some award. Was it the Montreux Festival of Art or something?
Yeah. We got in the final round of that. That's an international festival, but we didn't win it.
Did you go over?
So, no. We mentioned that we were in it, and then when we lost, we didn't mention it ever again.
Until so, now.
Yeah.
You should have gone.
Thanks for bringing it up, though.
That's half the fun, isn't it? Getting nominated for something overseas. You just go, yes, it's France! Yes!
Although that's not really the go at the moment.
No, it's
not. Well, it's not in France anyway, so that doesn't matter. But, no, they're a bit of a bun fest, those things. I think you'd just be a bit lost.
It's a bit of a...
Montrose.
In Switzerland, is it?
No, Montrose, outer suburb of Melbourne, in which my parents once had Ann Milk Bar. But no, it was Montrose is I believe in Switzerland. I thought it was Canada. I thought, you know, we're going to Canada.
Yeah, Atlas, Gracie.
Yeah.
Lucky you didn't win the award, because imagine you could have been accepting it 12,000 miles away in another suburb entirely.
But isn't it great how we didn't know either?
So
you don't have to be a rocket scientist to host a radio program. That's what we've discovered.
Listen up, people. It's educational.
Now, what else were we going to ask Magda about while we had her in the hot seat, Mickey?
You're basically on our show today as a payback for a bit of a favour, because we were working with you just the other day on a Christmas special, I believe.
Tit for Tat, I think is what it's called. Yes. Yeah, I was approached by Albert's Rip Productions and Channel 7 to direct and present a documentary on Christmas, which is ironic because I can't remember a thing about Christmas.
So it's a documentary. It's not a special. It's not a top blokes and superstars kind of thing.
It's turned into a bit of a top blokes and superstars. Yeah. A stellar cast. You know, you guys on it and Wendy Harmer and Andrew Denton and John Clarke. And
what about this? You know, the list goes on. Very Magda Christmas. I really think that should be the name. And you sort of sitting around the fireplace, roasting chestnuts.
Dragging in the Yule log. I think, and then burning it.
And what have you learnt so far making this doco about Christmas? Anything? Is there a moral?
No, mainly I've learned not to let Mel have too free rein with the camera. That's what I've learned.
Oh, you've got a rogue cameraman, have you?
Got a rogue cameraman.
What's he been up to?
Oh, no, he's been great, actually, because I'm, you know, this is my first time actually behind the lens.
What do you like with your crew? Are you snappy? Do you let them know?
I'm a bit of a Lenny Riefenstahl, can we just say that? And I think I probably will be 2 years in the editing suite with this one. There's like 5 million miles of footage because we're talking to so many people.
And remember, if you see Magda driving around the car with a mobile phone in one hand, Angry Anderson style, she's making her special and it's all for a good cause.
Absolutely.
Now, one other thing I must mention, Magda, is we had Psychic to the Stars, Dawn Rawlings, on the show last week. And I know you are pretty into clairvoyance and that kind of thing.
I'm a bit oongy boongy.
Are you?
Yeah, a bit mumbo jumbo.
What do you specialise in?
I'm not a big believer in clairvoyance. I think there's a lot of sort of psychic wannabes out there.
And have you had any good advice from your psychics lately?
Well, I have to tell you, I saw a woman in Sydney, actually, and she said, I see you doing a film. I see a contract coming from America. Two men involved bringing this contract. And I was thinking, oh, maybe it's, you know...
Maybe it was your agent you were talking to.
Are you sure?
I've sacked my agent and now this woman is my agent. But I was thinking... And then within a couple of months, Chris Noonan and George Miller approached me to do the film.
Oh, spooky.
Now, that's talk about the extraordinary.
And suddenly that psychic was playing her role in the show.
That was, I think so far, that's the spookiest moment on Martin Malloy.
Yeah, what do you reckon?
I've got stacks of them. I've got good spooky things.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we want to talk to you more about that in just a moment, Magda, so sit still.
All right.
Here on Martin Malloy.
Martin Malloy.
And Magda Szybanski, still with us on the panel here at Martin Malloy. Magda, you mentioned that a psychic told you you were going to have some kind of film role, and of course it came good, it came true.
It did.
Talking pig movie.
we're talking
bacon. You failed to mention that, didn't you?
she didn't say you'll be 8-stringer to a bloody walking piece of bacon.
But, of course, the film is Babe, and it's a huge hit. This film's made millions of dollars in America. They've taken to it like no previous talking pig movie released in that country. And do you think it's spearheading a new genre? Are we going to see talking pigs galore from now on?
I reckon so. It's a corker porker, this one. I think that we're really... I've got to say, the response from America was extraordinary. They've gone a bit sort of, you know, weird.
A bit balmy over it, haven't they? Because I've been watching Entertainment Tonight and a couple of other these syndicated shows, and it's just babe, babe, babe.
Yeah, they really, really love it. And I think the thing is that it's a kids' film, but it's the sort of film that Disney could never have made, really. Mm. It doesn't have cutesy elements. Like, they didn't anthropomorphise the animals so that they looked all, you know, terribly human. They look like animals, but they look like they're talking.
So it's realistic.
Yeah, as much as a pig talking.
How did they cast the voice of the pig?
They went all around the place, actually. They spoke to a lot of people, and they finally got a girl called Chris Kavanagh, who is fantastic.
I'm thinking talking pig, I'm thinking Gordon Elliott for some reason. He's in the States, that would have saved him a plane fare. But, you know, I suppose you movie people know best. What kind of accents? Because is there any evidence? We haven't seen the film yet, but do you know it's an Australian film at all? Or have they gone for a transatlantic, Pacific kind of deal?
It's a transatlantic-y, Pacific-y kind of thing. It was never really set in Australia. I mean, everyone in America is aware that it's an Australian film, so it's not perceived as being an American film. But it's hard to sort of pick where it is. It's hard to pick where it is in time and in place because... just when you think it's 1950s by the look of it, then, you know, you see a fax machine and you go, oh, right, it's not. And so it's sort of like set nowhere, set everywhere, one of those kind of things, which I think is interesting for an Australian film to not be, you know, so self-consciously Australian. You know, it's more, you know, just doing a picture set anywhere.
And what was the process like? It would have been pretty tedious, I imagine, because what would you do? You'd have to stand around waiting for the pig to kind of get into a position that could be talking.
Well, you've done your bit of TV. You know how long those setups take. So by the time you get the lights set and then you put the suntan lotion on the pig and, you know, and on it goes. So it's a really long process. And the thing that was really bizarre too is that you'd be acting, and you can't hear any of this on the film, of course, but there are all these animal trains around with, like, toots and whistles and little clicker things. So, you're doing your big scene and then there's all these, doot-doot, weep, quack-quack-quack-quack, you know, calling the
all
animals.
All of a sudden you think you're on Australia's Funniest Home Video Show. Someone's just fallen over or something.
Yeah. Or you're back boing. With Gordon Elliott.
Yeah. Hey, now tell me this too, because it's a young pig they used. Didn't you have to keep replacing the pig or something because they'd grow every 4 or 5 weeks and then be too large?
Yeah, they had, I think it was 48 pigs all up.
48
pigs.
And what happened to them once they'd outlived their usefulness? Lunch for the crew?
No.
Off to the catering van with you, mon frere.
Well, you know, you've got to cover your costs somehow, and if it's got to be there on the screen, as the producer always likes to say, I want to see that value for money. No, they all actually went off to educational institutions, never to be rehabilitated.
Yeah, sure.
No, they did. They all went off to, you know, what do you call them? Your thingy farms? Your what? Not, you know.
Mm-hmm. No. Health farms.
No, to you lose know a where people kilo-ish. Go and they learn. They
children
learn agriculture.
Zoo.
Agriculture.
Oh, yes.
Agriculture.
Yeah, yes. Well, all the best with Babe Magda.
Thanks
absolutely.
A lot.
Absolutely. And will you come back again on the show and talk pigs with us again sometime?
Love to. Well, when you've seen the film.
Hey, we're very busy. We've got Pamela Anderson jokes to write. You know, they don't just write themselves.
I think they do, actually.
I think you might be right. We've been talking.
She's on to us.
It's Magda Jabanski right here on Martin Malloy. Saddam Hussein, who I believe is a shattered man, Mick, because the election results have come in Iraq, and
very
he's only got 99.96% of the vote.
There's going to be some soul searching.
Mm-hmm.
Where did it go wrong?
And I think of the about 9 million voters, 9,000 people didn't vote for him. He must be wondering, you know, have I lost my common touch?
What do I have to do? I mean, it's a victory, but it's a hollow victory. There's no real joy there, is there? Who did the other 9,000 vote for?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know, but if I was that guy, I'd be demanding a recount.
Okay, hey. Back to the polls. He'll be going, what do I have to do? What do I have to do to win those 9,000? Do I have to gas more people? Do I have to do more popularist stuff like that?
Do I have to rip the lid off another crate of these biological weapons? Is that what I have to do?
And what about the 0.4 of a percent of the people who didn't vote for Saddam? What do you reckon?
They'll be thinking, gee, that Iran's looking nice.
Yeah,
I just go for a holiday down Kuwait way.
Yeah, so I think they'll be getting a knock on the door, and I think when the next election comes around, they'll have to have someone else hold the ballot form for them. But anyway, we must sign off. Thanks to our guests today, Magda Jabanski, Gurinder from the 7-Eleven. Have those lolly snakes ready, Gurinder. And all our radio gladiators. Now, tomorrow we'll be joined by one of the stars of the new James Bond film, GoldenEye, the glamorous and mysterious Isabella Skorupko, and she'll be telling us whether I've pronounced her name correctly. But until then, if you can't say something intelligent, come talk to us.
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with Half-Baked Ideas and Ill-Conceived Concepts Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net Digital. Pete Smith speaking.